Agent for Colin Kaepernick said the quarterback worked out for 8 NFL teams Saturday. Kaepernick worked out about an hour away from Atlanta at a high school instead of attending the scheduled workout with the NFL at the Falcons facility.
The NFL and Colin Kaepernick are at odds again. After the league's plan to host the quarterback for a workout went awry, why it happened, what went wrong, and who would benefit from signing him? Then, could this be the end of the road for Philip Rivers and the Chargers? I'm Mina Kimes. It's Monday, November 18th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Indeed.
Hey, it's Bill.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Bill Barnwell is a senior football writer at ESPN. Bill, we usually talk about the biggest story from the NFL, but this weekend, the biggest story in the league didn't actually take place on Sunday. It happened on Saturday.
Yes.
When Colin Kaepernick, 3 years after he last played professional football, worked out in front of NFL scouts and the world. As you know, Colin settled with the league earlier this year after accusing the NFL of colluding to keep him out because of his protests of racial injustice. After that happened, everyone kind of assumed he would never play again. Then on Tuesday, the NFL out of nowhere invites him to a workout. And then on Saturday, everything explodes. Let's walk through how this all broke down.
Yeah. The NFL for 3 years had seemingly no interest in bringing Colin Kaepernick back. And then out of nowhere, the NFL reaches out to Colin Kaepernick's representation, offers him a workout 5 days later, gives him 2 hours to decide whether it's something they want to do. And strangely enough, and this is one of many strange things that happened over the course of the week, doesn't allow them to change the date at all. They want to move it to Tuesday so more coaches and GMs can attend. They're told no. They want to move it to the following Saturday. The NFL also says no and does not give any reason. I still can't make heads or tails of that. And nobody I've spoken to in the NFL has come up with a logical or reasonable explanation.
The first question I asked, I said, who asked for the workout? They said, we can't tell you that. I said, whose idea was this? We can't tell you that. Can we do it on a Tuesday when most 95% of NFL workouts? No, we can't do that.
Well, it seems like NFL executives are as confused by all of this as us. According to Adam Schefter, during the week, team execs reached out to Colin Kaepernick's camp to apologize for not being able to make it and express confusion as to why it was happening in the first place, Bill. But despite all of this, it does happen, or it seems like it's going to happen on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I mean, you get to Saturday, and then everything breaks loose. It becomes a free flow of finger-pointing and press releases and tweets blaming the other side for not giving in to the other's whims. The morning starts with Colin Kaepernick planning to work out at the Atlanta Falcons facility in front of more than 20 teams, with Hugh Jackson running the workout. It ends with Colin Kaepernick working out more than an hour away in front of 8 teams, one of which, by the way, still has not been publicly named, without Hugh Jackson on YouTube. That is a very 2019 turn of events, but that is where we are.
Then after the workout, the statements begin. The NFL releases a statement defending themselves, really, and saying, we sent Colin Kaepernick a standard liability waiver, which is a matter of dispute. We worked on this with his representatives. We told Nike last night that they could mention the teams at the workout. A lot of people misread that as Nike being present to film it, which Nike then denies. Then after Colin works out, he talks to reporters, which is not something he does very often.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running.
Bill, after all of this, I am still confused as to why the workout happened in the first place.
It's really fascinating because nobody knows. And this is a league where stuff like this does not stay secret for very long. And if you talk to people in the NFL, there's the same sort of rumor mongering that happens outside of the NFL when it's people who are fans or analysts talking about what might have happened here. The rumor I've heard most frequently is related to Jay-Z, which is a little strange to me because the Jay-Z argument seems to be that he lost some level of credibility after he agreed to work with the NFL on social justice programs. And the idea that the NFL would respond to this by giving Colin Kaepernick a workout to appease Jay-Z, who granted is working with the NFL on a financial project, but how much can that project really be worth to justify, you know, the risk reward here? Because the NFL for years now has not shown any real impetus to reintroducing Colin Kaepernick to the NFL for reasons related to football.
Bill, I think football related reasons might actually be the source of all of this, which sounds kind of naive given everything that's happened in the Colin Kaepernick story, all of the various conflicts and incentives at play. But I think you're right to point out that the NFL certainly doesn't benefit here from a publicity perspective by shining a light on this story again after it had faded away from the view. And I also think there are teams around the league that are probably genuinely interested in taking a look at Colin Kaepernick. And it seems plausible to me that they might have reached out to the NFL and, you know, asked for a bit of cover rather than being singled out as, you know, trying out Colin at their own facility. So let me ask you this. Do you think he can play in the NFL?
Yes. Not only do I think that, but when you talk to NFL teams, broadly they think that. You might find one person here or there within an NFL organization who says, I don't think he can play, but the vast majority of people I talk to in the NFL feel like he is absolutely capable of playing, whether as a starter or as a backup, that he's worth a roster spot. And you look through history, Mina, I actually wrote about this for ESPN in 2017. I went through the 1970 merger, and every quarterback who started at age 29, as Kaepernick did for the 49ers in his final year in the league, every single quarterback who was a starter, no matter how good they were, no matter how bad they were, as long as they were healthy enough to play and didn't have either a gambling addiction or substance abuse issues, they, to a man besides Colin Kaepernick, even the guy with the lowest completion percentage in NFL history, had another job after starting at age 29, and Colin Kaepernick did not. So I think that tells you a lot about how strongly kneeling impacted his professional viability. The vast majority recognize that he is an NFL caliber quarterback at some level.
Bill, what I think is so interesting about that is the list of teams we heard attended Kaepernick's second workout, as you mentioned, it was winnowed down a bit, included the Chiefs, the Jets, the Eagles, the Titans, the Niners, the Redskins, and the Lions, and one other unnamed team. Those are teams that are mostly solid at the quarterback position. Some of them might be in a market for a backup either this year or next year, but there are teams around the NFL right now that are playing backup quarterbacks and losing. For example, you've got Pittsburgh. Mason Rudolph was mostly in the news because he was attacked by Myles Garrett, but he also had a very bad game, and he's been playing like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league for a while. That strikes me as a team that wants to compete now, especially after trading for Minka Fitzpatrick, but does not have the quarterback. Another one, Chicago. They're saying they didn't bench Mitch Trubisky, but they sidelined him for reasons, and he has struggled all season. Again, another team that strikes me as needing a quarterback, and yet neither of those teams reportedly sent scouts to look at Colin Kaepernick. Are there any other teams around the league that you think should have done so?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams you would figure that might theoretically look towards Colin Kaepernick. A couple of teams who are all in. The Texans, where they're not starting a backup, obviously. They have Deshaun Watson, who's been mostly great this year, but he really struggled on Sunday. And I would never dream of benching Watson, but he did suffer an ankle injury during that game. And they were one false step or one more significant injury from starting AJ McCarron in a season where they've already traded multiple first-round picks to try and win with Watson this year. You would figure that would be a logical place for Colin Kaepernick to step in possibly as a backup. The Carolina Panthers are done with Cam Newton for the year. Possibly Cam Newton's time in Carolina is over. Kyle Allen was a mess against what is apparently now the best defense in the history of football, the Atlanta Falcons. But the Panthers have stuff in their playbook that Cam Newton ran during the first half of the 2018 season that I feel quite confident Colin Kaepernick could run without any major issues. The Bears, you mentioned, the Broncos. I mean, there's really a lot of teams who either as a starter or as a backup, they would be a logical place for Colin Kaepernick on their roster in one place or another. And it's a shame. It seems like Colin Kaepernick does want to play football, and there are teams who would be improved by having Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback, but it seems less likely now than a week ago that Colin Kaepernick is ever going to play in the NFL again.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Mina.
Coming up, Philip Rivers. Is this his last season in Los Angeles?
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Tonight, the Los Angeles Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs square off in Mexico City, and the fate of the AFC West hangs in the balance. Something else that's up in the air? The future of Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers. Rumors are swirling that he might retire or leave LA. And even at age 37, Rivers would be a hot prospect.
Don't sell on Philip Rivers. He's not done. If Philip Rivers were an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season, how many teams do you think would go in on him? How do I get 2 to 3 years of Philip Rivers?
In 16 seasons, Rivers has made the Pro Bowl 8 times, but he has 0 rings, and as a result, his legacy is still a matter of debate. What's not up for debate, in my opinion, is how expressive his face is, which is why he is my favorite NFL player to paint.
He's got that signature look where he kind of tilts his face upwards and breathes deeply, and he did it last season, like for the second time, and I think he knows that people like it when he does this.
He may have winked when he did that.
ESPN's Eric Williams has covered the Chargers since 2013, including the team's move from San Diego to LA. I have never covered the Chargers, but I did paint a series of watercolors of Philip Rivers last year that I auctioned off for charity.
Is he aware of how memeable his face is?
I think he is aware of it. I think he kind of lays it on a little more thick because of that, because he knows
really?
That people are searching for those memes, and so he's almost going into a caricature of his facial expressions. Just kind of giving it to you.
So you and Philip Rivers both live in San Diego.
Me and Philip Rivers, and there's also a couple coaches that still go back and forth, and some employees as well that are still based in San Diego and making the drive back and forth. It would be a lot easier if Philip would let me ride with him and his guy that drives him on a daily basis. But I haven't been able to talk him into it yet.
Well, I ask you this not just because it sounds like a traffic nightmare, but also because it's kind of relevant to the question of Philip's future in some ways, right? This question of whether or not he's going to continue making that commute to play for the Chargers in LA.
The commute is kind of part of the overall decision of whether or not he wants to continue to play football. He's not getting any younger. He's going to be 38 years old in December. I still think he can play on an elite level. But as you know, as you get older, your physical skills diminish. He has said in the past that he wants to play in 2020. He wants to play when the new stadium opens. I think he's still of that mindset. But being in the final year of his contract, he kind of owes it to himself. I think, again, kind of having talked to Philip, that he wants to make a full evaluation, wants to make sure he's still committed to, you know, doing the commute. But the one thing I will say is, Philip and his wife, Tiffany, they're really entrenched in the San Diego community. They do a lot of community service work and just have a lot of different things that they're doing there, different types of businesses. So, again, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of stayed put because that's kind of what their family knows right now in terms of their kids.
Eric, ahead of tonight's game, it feels like in some ways there's been more off the field stories about the Chargers than on the field. First, there's the rumor that they might move to London at some point, which owner Dean Spanos very, very firmly shuts down.
It's total bullshit. Okay? We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles.
And now there's whispers that this might be it for longtime quarterback Philip Rivers with the team. What do you make of that rumor?
Yeah, I think obviously you're going to have speculation when you have a guy like Philip Rivers being at the end of his career and also the contract status. He's the final year of his contract going into this year. And then again, the Chargers have to make the decision whether or not they want to bring Rivers back. But knowing Chargers ownership, they love Rivers. I would think that they would want another year or two of Rivers.
Well, do you think it's more likely that he would retire or move to another team? Because even though by Rivers standards, this has been a bit of a down season and he's 37 years old, Philip Rivers hitting the open market would light up free agency.
Yeah, no doubt. It's an interesting question. I think, again, Philip would have to kind of make those different assessments and see where he's at. He could, like Brett Favre, take a year off, retire, go spend time with his 9 kids. I'm sure they would, give him enough stuff to do for a year.
I feel like if I had 9 kids and retired, I would immediately decide to come back to work.
Yeah, I would play as long as possible if I'm Philip. He had 9 kids at home. But he enjoys spending time with his family. That's something that means a lot to him.
Do you think the fact that he hasn't had that signature moment, to say nothing of a Super Bowl, might motivate him to keep playing?
Yeah, I think it's part of the thing that motivates him, certainly that he wants to win a Super Bowl.
I love to play. I love to compete. And I think, you want to be there for your teammates and chase an ultimate goal, we've yet to accomplish. So I think just the pure competition of it and then the love of the game thrown in there with it. And the combination of those two things, you can bring out anything out here, and I'd love to compete and try to win in it. It just happens to be the one sport that I'm pretty good in. So it makes it that much better.
But I think more than that is he just likes playing. I think he's a guy that is a gym rat. If you're at the YMCA and you're playing with that 50-year-old guy that kept grabbing you when you're trying to get out of screens and maybe talking at you or talking to you back and forth, that would be Philip. I think he just enjoys playing the game, and that keeps him out there on the field.
Do you think the next few games and how they play out could impact whether or not Philip Rivers is on this team next year?
Yeah, potentially. I think if maybe they're able to get it going and they could finish 8-8, 9-7, maybe he'll feel better about, himself as a player and how he played and the team in general and their ability to kind of continue to stockpile talent so they could make another run. This team was 4-6 in 2013, won 5 of their last 6 and were able to get into the playoffs and actually won a playoff game that year. And Philip mentioned that when I talked to him this week, the fact that, hey, we did it, years ago.
It's easy to be a good teammate and say all the right things when things go good. But when you lose one like this, we'll find out about us. We can waller around and go 3-13 or 4-12, or we can rebound and get back in the thing.
We could do it again if everybody is able to kind of come together and play clean football.
If Philip does retire now, Eric, do you think he goes into the Hall of Fame?
That's a great question. I believe he's done enough. It'll be interesting to see if the voters inside the room believe that he's done enough. I think he still has some convincing to do based on what he's done through the first 16 years. Again, he's up there in the top 10 in a lot of the different passing statistics, but is he going to be able to reach that AFC Championship again or Super Bowl? I think voters would be more convinced that he belongs if he's able to kind of create one of those big moments.
Eric, follow-up question. If Philip does get into the Hall of Fame, will he wear a bolo tie to the ceremony?
Yeah, I would be surprised if Philip did not wear a bolo tie, make that last statement with the bolo tie and tie it all in. It's been an interesting year because Philip has been, you know, he wore his high school letterman's jacket to the Chicago game at Soldier Field, kind of a nod to his dad coaching him and kind of helping him get to the NFL. So he's always been a person that's been aware of how he can present himself. You know, he Nunchepi, he wears those hats and that Latin slogan on his shirt, "Now I Begin," which is kind of his approach every day to not only football, but to life.
Personally, it would be hard on me if he retires because I wouldn't be able to paint him anymore, Eric.
Well, I'll mention that to him and maybe that'll get him to play a couple more years.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Mina, for having me. I appreciate it.
Coming up, Tua Tagovailoa and the risky business of being an elite college football player.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast.
Here's another story I want you to know. On Saturday, near the end of the first half in a game against unranked Mississippi State, Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa was severely injured. It was later reported he dislocated his hip and suffered a posterior wall fracture. He's having surgery today and will miss the remainder of the college football season, if not longer. Now, it's upsetting to see any athlete at any level suffer an injury like that. But when it happens to a player like Tua, it's especially difficult to watch because we know what's at stake. When I saw the visual of him being carted off the field, I was reminded of the night we saw Zion Williamson sprain his knee in college. Like Zion, Tua was a lock for a top draft pick, which should have given him the chance to earn millions of dollars in the near future. And, like Zion, his injury will invite a good deal of scrutiny because it puts that future in jeopardy. In fact, seconds after Tua left the game, people began to ask, why was the quarterback, just a few weeks removed from ankle surgery, even on the field? Team was up 35-7. Our Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit had this to say.
The medical staff is not trying to send a guy out there to beat Mississippi State at the risk of his career. That's not what they're doing. I'm not saying that. I do think that if your mobility is affected, if you get an opponent that has no chance to stop you, maybe it's a prudent thing to sit him out. Maybe it's a prudent thing to pull him out up 4 touchdowns.
It's not that. It's more for me, why was he on the field at the beginning of the game when you give him a chance to recover and get ready for the Iron Bowl?
Alabama coach Nick Saban later said it was meant to be Tua's last series. He also said Tua wanted to go into the game. And look, that's not surprising. Anyone who's watched Tua over the last 2 years knows he is a fierce competitor and one of the toughest quarterbacks to ever play college football. But even if he didn't want to go back into this game or any game this season, that wouldn't have made him any less tough. Because when college players skip games on account of injury or, as we've seen happen more and more often, preempt them altogether to avoid getting hurt before the draft, it's not because they don't want to play football. It's because every time they step onto the field before they get paid, they risk the opportunity to earn a living off the sport. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.